All right, so my message this morning is entitled Fight. I came to pick a fight this morning. Amen. Amen. And so the last few weeks, we have heard different stories. How much you enjoyed those stories? They're still powerful, powerful stories. We heard Jessica Fields, a story of living in really some dark, dark places and how God delivered her and her now her passion, that her hatred. I love Jessica because when she talks, she has this hatred for lies and untruth, right? She has a passion to get rid of our wrong thinking about who we are. And she has, it's developed through her own walk, right? Out of some dark places. And it's caused her, we've talked to, and then Tyrone coming and talking about the power of overcoming addiction and what it, and I love his journey of how he overcame addiction. Even prison was a part of it, right? And to watch him, and what I love about Tyrone, he has this, like, he like sinks his, he's like a pit bull. He kind of latches on and doesn't let go, right? Amen. That's the way we need to be, right? When we're fighting situations and deals, he like latches on. He goes, I will go to Celebrate Recovery. I'll go to AA like every day of the week. I will do whatever it takes to break this addiction. Amen. And so I love that about Tyrone's story. And then Linda's amazing, amazing story last week, dealing with like completely this anxiety and all of the stuff that she went through, incapacitating her life, and to watch her husband fight for her, right? And then to watch her coming out of it, she continues to have those cards with the scriptures on it. It goes, this is who I am. This is who God called me to be. I love that tenacity. And that amazing woman of God, right? And but maybe that's not you. Maybe you've never fought those kind of darkness. Maybe you've never dealt with the addiction to that level, or maybe you've never dealt with incapacitating anxiety. But we are dealing. Let me just say it. We are dealing in our world, in our nation right now, we are dealing with a ton of issues that are being flown at us constantly, right? We are dealing, we continue to deal with this goofy COVID thing that's, we just had a friend of ours a couple of weeks ago, she just passed away from COVID. It was just awful. And all of the stuff, and then all the political stuff that envelops, and then the things that some of our government's doing that's affecting us personally, that's causing us all this anxiety and worry, dealing with, and then as parents, trying to deal as a parent and navigating through this world of where our morals are kind of falling off the cliff, right? We're dealing with parents, like it's a new way, like to deal as a parent in these crazy times is different, right? And it's just in our world, and not just, and then the anxiety of just different. Like we need to, I mean, I hate to say it, we need to embrace that things are different and deal with that fact that things are different. Because if we don't deal with the fact that things are different, we won't act differently. We need to act differently in these times. Amen? So, all of these, I need to put a different, it keeps going off on me. But the moral decline, if we feel like that we are living in Babylon, how do we navigate living in Babylon? How do we navigate living in a world where the people of faith seems to be, the numbers of the people of faith seems to be diminishing? Like we need to deal with those things and all of these struggles and all of these worries. And then not only that, all of this stuff that's being put on us. And then just everyday life that was already stressful, right? So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with these issues? How do we deal with all of the stuff that continues to bombard us, right? Well, there's some ways that some of us deal with it. We just watch endless amounts of Netflix. We scroll endlessly through Facebook, right? And if it's not those things, like we just eat more than we used to. Or the other side, we don't eat, right? We just might, we sleep just a little more. If I can just sleep through it, right? If I can just turn it all off. Or then even worse things, or so that we maybe used to be a person that you would just have maybe a couple of glasses of wine a week, but now it's like 3 or 4 glasses of wine every night. And you're dealing with it in these ways. And then you may find yourself now you have a shorter temper than you used to have. Like all of these things are affecting us. You take up your anxiety medication, but you take more than what you need to take. And now you can't stop. That's the only thing that keeps you kind of going. Or then you move over to some illegal stuff, right? How are we doing? So as God has been stirring this up, but what's in my spirit is we need to own the fact that most of us are not doing well. That we're not doing well. If you were honest with yourself, you'd say, I'm not doing well. I don't even know where I am with God really anymore. I don't even know. I feel like even there's been so much disappointment, like where is God in all of this stuff? And if you'd be honest, you would say, I've lost my fight. And if that's you, we need to own it. That is where I'm at. You need to own that fact that that's where I'm at. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Maybe you feel like the stuff that you're facing, maybe you've just decided, and you won't say it out loud, but you really, there's some quit in you. You've quit like on the expectations of your marriage. Maybe you've quit on that dream that used to be so vibrant on the inside of you. Maybe there was this ministry that you felt that you were supposed to do, but it's now like, I don't know anymore. That addiction that you've tried to overcome, you've just quit even trying. You just kind of are dealing with it. Maybe that person that you've been praying for, I don't even know if this really even works anymore. Life is just hard. Amen. See y'all next week. I'm just kidding. I would be the worst pastor on the planet. I just couldn't resist. That was really funny. I need to lighten it up a little bit. But you see, listen, we were never promised that this was going to be easy. We were never promised. We were never promised that we were just going to, we are still in Babylon, probably. We are still in a battle, right? We still have an enemy who still wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We still have enemies, right, all around. That, like, it's almost like, so, and let me just clarify it, since I'm talking about our world. So this is what a lot of us have been taught, especially if you've come out of the charismatic world. That if I just believe hard enough, then nothing bad will ever happen to me. Tell that to every one of the disciples. Tell it to all the apostles who gave their lives for the cause. Tell that to Stephen as he's speaking out truth, being stoned to death. Yeah. Right? We were never promised. Did God promise to be with us? Yes. Did he promise us that none of that stuff would be shake us? Yes. Our confidence is in him. Right? So how do we deal with all of these difficulties? So glad now you have that question in your head. 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold or grab hold of eternal life. Meaning then that if I don't, that there's a responsibility that lies on me to lay hold and to fight the good fight of faith, right? It's on me to take this thing, and when I see stuff going on, it's on me to fight this good fight. That I have a responsibility in this thing. It's not all on God. I remember going through some really dark places in my life, and this is what I prayed, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I said, God, I remember just praying. You know the God help me prayers? You know those? How many of y'all, maybe this week, God help me. I was crying out, really a dark place in my life. I was crying. I said, God, help me. And he said, David, I already did. His name was Jesus. And he has given you authority. He's given you power. He's given you the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He said, what do you mean, help me? I already helped you. Now stand up and fight. And I went, well, that wasn't very comforting, God. The comfort is that it's true, that I have every tool that God's given me in the arsenal to fight. But we have a role in this. I want to look at two very similar scriptures. They're actually mirrored. And if you theologians will look, you'll notice that these are not written by the same person. One's Peter and one's James. But they write almost the identical thing. It's interesting. James chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, but he gives more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That word favor is actually grace. He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now look at the scripture in 1 Peter. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. And all God's people said, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor or gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert. Be alert. Be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is going through the same kinds of suffering. There are two ideas in this scripture, and hopefully I can get to at least one of them, and maybe I'll get to two of them. But the first idea is this subject of humility. Humility. Biblical humility is different than what some people think when they think about being humble, right? Many of us think that all of a sudden maybe you were the captain of the football team, right? And you were that guy, and you thought you were going to make it into that pro, you thought you were going to make it into that college and then go on to pro, and not even one person from a college even called you, since we're talking about college football. We were yesterday. And then all of a sudden, like, but that never worked out. And all of a sudden you say, wow, that humbled me. That's not biblical humility. Or this thing happened to me and I was humiliated, right? All of a sudden I felt terrible about myself. I felt terrible about whatever situation it was. And all of a sudden I was humiliated. That again is not biblical
Humility.
I'll say this boldly. God's number one purpose is not to humble you. Process that in some of your teachings that you received. God is not in the business of humbling people. Will he?
Yeah.
Is it God's best?
Nope.
It's not. God's best is not for you, the things that happen to you, and then you realize that you've been humbled. That's not God's best. Let's look back at the scripture. He says, but he gives more grace, and put that James 4, 6 back up. But he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives favor or grace to the humble. Then go down to the 1 Peter. He says, God opposes the proud, in verse 5, but shows favor to the humble. Watch this, next phrase, key. Humble. That's my job. My job is to humble myself. This is my responsibility to humble myself. So you're like, okay, well, so what is humble? I don't even know what anything means anymore. This word humble, let's go back to this. So he says he gives more grace, right? Go back to the 1 Peter 5. It says, yeah. He says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor or gives grace to the humble. The word God opposes the proud. Okay, so let's just dive into that. Another translation says God resists the proud, right? I got a lot of stuff resisting me, right? I got people that try to resist me. You guys have coworkers that are trying to resist you. Some of you parents, you got kids that are trying to resist you, right? I was going to say spouse, but won't go there. But listen, the last person I ever need to resist me is God. I don't need God resisting me, right? But he says that God opposes the proud. He resists the proud, but gives grace or favor to the humble. That means then I need to stay away from pride. Pride is not just, you know, yeah, I think really great of myself. Pride has this idea that you can do it on your own. Biblical pride has this idea that you can do this on your own. And watch this. If you choose to do it on your own, and you choose to say, God, I got this, God will do the Heisman on you and resist you. Because you got it. Because you got it, right? God says, okay, you got it, take it. I don't know if God would say this. Good luck with that. Because in a couple of scriptures, I'm going to tell you who you're fighting, and they're not just other people, that's the devil. So you think you got it, go ahead, got it. You got it. I'll just do whatever I got. Whatever I got to do, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. I'll just do it. I got this. I'll figure it out. I'm just going to tell this person. I'm going to do this. And you're running around like crazy trying to fix it all. And God says, when you figure out you can't, let me know. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, what's grace? Grace, the favor. It's the idea that, like, there are several things. Like, when you talk about the spiritual gifts, we're going to teach a little bit this morning. When you talk about the spiritual gifts, many theologians, when they talk about the spiritual gifts, matter of fact, I have a good theologian friend, and whenever he talks about spiritual gifts, he calls them spiritual graces. And really, that's really accurate, that they are spiritual graces. And what is that? What is a spiritual grace, right? So a spiritual grace is God's power working in you to accomplish what he wants you to do. Right? So if it's a gift of discernment, right? It's God's power working in you to discern a situation or that kind of thing. Is it a gift of faith, right? It's God's power to supernaturally go on to you to help you operate in a manner of faith that you're not even there yet, right? This is supernatural strength that comes on you to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish.
That's right.
The spiritual gift or the grace of working of miracles, right? That happens because it's God's power working in us. It's a spiritual grace that comes on us. Salvation that you got saved was not of your own work, but it was a grace that was put on you to empower you with salvation to become a child of God. It's a grace. Grace is not just this grace like, oh, this person's so graceful. Like, what I don't even know what I mean. Like, a biblical grace has to do with a tangible power of God working in you to accomplish what he wants in you. That's biblical grace. So watch this. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The humble. Now I need to know what humble is. How many of y'all need a little bit of God's power? How many of y'all feel like over the last few weeks that you've been operating in your own strength? Remember, we are a supernatural people supposed to be doing supernatural things, living a supernatural life. So the question for all of us is, are we living a supernatural life that God's intended us to live? Do I have supernatural grace that's come on me to be able to work and process all these things that are going on in my life? Or am I just trying to figure it out? Or am I just trying to do it myself? We have, I believe, an epidemic of people just trying to figure it out. People of God just trying to figure it out. Working out all these things. I don't know how all these things are going to work together. I don't know how we're going to get. What about the government? The government's gone crazy. They're making us do everything, and they're next thing you know they're going to, I don't know, they're going to make us not deny the faith. I understand, but listen, we are the people of God. We don't live like the world lives. We don't have faith. We don't just trust in weird stuff. We trust in the name of our God. My God is my refuge. My God is my strength. And we do that through this amazing thing called prayer. So the question is, I don't know how. I don't know how. I'm so full of anxiety. I'm so full of it. And you just hear it in people's voices anymore. Pray. When I bow my knee and say, God, I can't. God, I can't. I am humbling myself. I say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need your grace. You know what God says? Let me pour out that grace on you. You have humbled yourself. Now you got it, child of God. Now you've got it. I'm going to pour out so much strength on you. People will wonder how in the world you're even sane in our world today. And then we will shine like the stars all around us because God has poured out his grace and his power in us. There is power available for you for every part and every day of your life. And if we just were people who would just bow our knee and just say, God, I trust in you. Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of our God. David was like, I don't need this armor. What are you kidding me? I don't need this armor. This is what I know how to do, right? Here we go. Let me just get a sling. Wow. Who is this giant coming against the armies of the living God?
Come on.
Who is that army coming against you, child of God? How dare you? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm a child of the Most High God? No weapon that's fashioned against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me will be put down. I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. God has called me to be the person of God who live in his power, live in his anointing, that wherever I go, the kingdom of God comes with me.
So good.
That is what God called us. And so some of you, you're like, I remember what that was like. I remember when I used to walk in the power of God. Listen, church, it's time to rise up and be the people of God who God's called us to be.
Yes.
Yeah, people are leaving their faith in droves, but not me.
Come on.
I'm not leaving.
Come on.
I'm not leaving. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me as a pastor and of this house, we will serve the Lord. We had 45 kids last week at Super Search, this past Friday. We had all these, we had 18 parents preaching the Word of God to them, loving on them. You know why? Because wherever I go, the kingdom of God shows up.
That's right.
Wherever we go, the kingdom of God shows up.
That's right.
Righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen?
Amen.
I told you I came to pick a fight. I don't need God resisting me anymore. Those days of doing it on my own, gone. And then he says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Oh, that'll preach really good.
Come on.
I don't know if I've ever really experienced it or not, but that preach is really good. So I don't know if you know, some of you may know. My wife and I, it's been tough. Just being flat out honest. It's been tough. Pastoring through COVID, ask any pastor, has been, awful. Friends of mine, just overcome with all the craziness. Mining through the political stuff, mining through the COVID stuff has been incredibly difficult. And I remember there came a time where I was like, it was starting to get to me. I was like, I'm so tired. And some of you may have heard it in those times. I was like, I don't want to hear any more of your opinions about masks. I don't want to hear any more of your opinions. You feel like God wants you to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You don't? I don't care. Whatever. I don't care what you do. Like, let's push forward the kingdom of God. That's all I care about right now. Right? I mean, I hear it all. That's just where I'm at. But I remember I had this moment of, you know what? Not to me you don't, devil. Not to me you don't. God has called me to pastor this church. God has equipped me to pastor this church. And no matter what comes, that's what I'll do. Until God tells me to quit, that's what I'll do. And I saw it. And so what did I do? What did I do? I do what I tell us to do all the time. Me and the devil had a little conversation. And it went something like this. Let me tell you something, devil. I'm done with you. I'm done with all your lies. I'm done with all your false stuff. I'm done with all your stress and all your worry. That's not of God. And I resist that in Jesus' name. Devil, go from me in my mind in Jesus' name. Leave me. Loose me in Jesus' name. I am what God says I can do. I can do what God says I can do. I am called, anointed, and equipped to do exactly what you called me to do, God. Devil, back off. In Jesus' name. And you know what happened? This amazing grace came all over me. It stirred me up on the inside. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. Like, no more. No, I'm not dealing with it anymore. Listen, in these times that we're living, you have to fight. You have to push back against darkness. You have to feed yourself on the Word of God. I choose to operate the way God. And submitting myself to God is two things. It's humbling myself, but it's also doing exactly being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. Submitting myself to God causes me to bow my knee, but it also causes me to change my actions.
Come on.
The weapons of my warfare are not what I think they are, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I use the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. Every one of those stories that you heard were similar. Like, if this is just how you break bondages off of you, you put up your dukes, and go at it. Because all of hell is attacking you. Attacking your mind. The worry. The fear.
There were so many. I did so much research on anxiety. Anxiety is an epidemic in our country. Our kids are full of anxiety. Yeah. Depression. There was a number, it was something like 10 to 15% of America deals with not a little bit of sadness or a little bit of anxiety, severe depression. Over 10% of the people around you are dealing with severe, and actually those are the only ones who go and get help. Most people are not going anywhere to get help because we locked them up in there by themselves for a year. Listen, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. This is the people of God. This is how we live in an occupying. How do you live and survive and thrive in Babylon? You fight the good fight of faith.
Come on.
You don't let the enemy take control of your mind.
That's right.
Watch what you're putting in your mind. To the percentage of what you're putting in your mind, to the percentage of all of the world's craziness, I can almost knock it out, your peace level. CNN, Fox News, none of that determines my peace level. None of it does. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Your kids, they're going crazy. Fight for them in prayer. Fight for them in prayer. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. I remember going through this time and you know, kind of a smaller crowd this morning, but I'll just be a little bit honest. I remember going through that really dark time and I was battling my own addiction. My marriage was falling apart, and I lived, this is funny, I was living in a basement of another person's house, and I was living in their basement, and they, you know what they told me later? They go, I was so stirred up, because I was living in the basement. Their room was right above mine, and every morning, they go, you woke us up every single morning with all of your confessions and all of your battling. And all of your out loud speaking against the devil, binding the devil over yourself, praying the power of God into your marriage. They go, I just felt the power of God. Like in our own bedroom, when we woke up, I could just hear you quoting the word. I was so encouraged, like having a message every single morning. But that's how we fight. That's how we fight. It's not my own thinking. I couldn't figure my way out of addiction. I couldn't figure my way out of repairing my marriage that I had destroyed. But I knew how to pray. And I knew how to fight. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the very blood of Jesus, who causes me to be righteous even when I don't feel like I'm righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know who I am. I may have made a lot of mistakes along the way, but as I stand here today, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how dare you, devil, mess with me? How dare you, devil, mess with this church? How dare you? No more. Say, I am. What God says I can, I am. I can do what God says I am. I know, I'm just so mixed up right about now. So, come on, church. Come on, fight for your mind. Fight for your thinking. Fight for who? Fight for like this idea that I am. I'm so beaten down. I'm so beaten down. I'm you know what? The Bible talks about that. Paul says, I'm pressed down. I am beaten down, but I'm not crushed. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. It's like I remember this guy used to say at Bible school. He says it's like this is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be like you know, like you're in a boxing ring, right? And the devil's just pounding you, and you're like all bloody, and you're like you're kind of on the ground, and you're like, oh, you know. And this is what he wants out of your mouth: "I'm winning." You got blood all down your face. You feel like you've been knocked out. I've launched into drinking again. I launched into that porn. I launched into whatever again. But I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm gonna win. I'm gonna win. I am the victor. In Jesus' name. Fight. Fight. People of God, fight. You may this week need to turn off everything that you listen to. Every bit of news, you need to go ahead and turn it off. I promise you all that news will still be there next week. You may need to turn it all off. Whatever you got to do. No more. I am not going to run. Anxiety is not going to rule my head anymore. Fear is not going to rule me anymore. You know, they did a statistic, and I won't name, I'll be careful how I name it. But there are certain people who believe, listen, we all know the mortality numbers of COVID. Do you understand that there were people who believed that 50% of people who got COVID died? Like, it's crazy what people think. The fear that has gripped people and the distrust and all of the stuff that's putting on people in this world today. Like, they're bombarded with lies, bombarding with untruths, bombarded with the enemy putting it on top of you. Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. You know what? You know what God wants? God wants us to be a light. God wants us to shine. I was reading it this morning in 2 Corinthians. It says that we are supposed to be an aroma of God everywhere we go. What does the aroma of God look like? Peace, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control.
Come on.
Everywhere we go. What does it look like? What's my effect on other people? Because the kingdom lives within me. Peace, joy, goodness, self-control, long-suffering. Right? This is by the grace of God, not by me. By me, I just want to, you just want to quit everything. I'll join you in that big old 13 bottles of wine with you. But that's not the way I'm going to operate. I'm going to operate in the power of God. I choose the power of God in Jesus' name. Worship team, y'all can come on up. Let's all stand together. As a preacher friend of mine used to say, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Not anymore. And man, I feel, listen, And is the pain and is the uncertainty, is it real? Yeah. Or is the turmoil real? Is the effects of all the stuff that's going on around us, is it real? Yeah. But so is the mighty grace of God. So is the mighty power of God. The righteous run into Him and are saved. As I look to Him, I will not be shaken. It's the same thing as humility.